Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
To lessons from the wilderness, and we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know if we have access to the amplified version, okay, or maybe, do we? Or maybe we should read King James first, then intermittently I would touch in on the amplified version. Now, this exhortation, I want you to please use your notepad. This is a study. The reason why we are looking at this today is because there are some chapters in the Bible where God is very emphatic about certain things. And the reason why these things are documented is so that nobody will say, oh, they were not aware. Just because certain things today are now permissible does not automatically mean that they are approved or acceptable before God. So the reason why we come to a meeting like this is so that we can look at these things again, and then you can plot your graph. Now, when we read this scripture, somewhere at the back of your head, I want you to also think about some of the people who teach on what we call the grace message. Are you familiar with the grace message? You hear things like once saved, forever saved. You hear things like what you do with your body does not really matter because it is your spirit that is saved. Have you heard that before? Hello, church. You've not heard it before. So you hear there is, and it is true, that we are saved by grace. But grace is not a license. And as interesting as that may sound, grace is God's effort to put his hands deep into our condition to save us. It does not require any work. The only work we need is to have faith. But there are certain aspects, other aspects in the faith, in Christianity, that have a foundation of grace but require a lot of works. And you will see some of those things here today. So I want us to read, can we display the scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 11 or 12. For I do not want you to be unaware, believers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and in brackets you find there God's presence, in which God's presence went before them. And they all passed miraculously and safely through the Red Sea. Next verse. For, and all of them were baptized into Moses, into his safekeeping. And I want you to please pay attention to that. Into his safekeeping. As their leader in the cloud and in the sea. I think we are both using the different portions of the amplified version. Maybe one is classic, one is... but it's okay. Verse 3. By the time I begin to throw in some... there's another amplified. If you can get that one and put it up. Maybe it's classic or something. That would align with what I'm doing here. Say verse 3, and all of them ate the same spiritual food. Please pay attention to that word spiritual. Which means if you do not feed on this type of food, your spirit will suffocate. Verse 4, quickly. Verse 4. Shall I read from here?
Okay. And they all drank the same spiritual. I'm reading my own version here, the Amplified. And they all drank of the same spiritual, supernaturally given drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock, which followed them, produced by the sole power of God Himself, without natural instrumentality. And that rock was Christ. Verse 5. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, God was not pleased with the great majority. Now, that word great majority is like some kind of tautology. But God wants you to see the emphasis in that statement. So what God is saying here is that He wasn't happy with most of them. That means there were a few of them. Are we together? That were getting it right. But for the most of them, God was not happy with them. These people are Christians, so. All right, give me the scripture. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with the great majority of them, for they were overthrown and strewn down along the ground in the wilderness. Next verse. Now, these things are examples, warnings, and admonitions for us not to desire or crave or covet or lust after evil and carnal desires as they did. Next verse. Therefore, do not be worshippers of false gods, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to... This was how they worshipped those gods. The people sat down to eat and drink the sacrifices offered to the golden calf at Horeb, and then rose up to play, to sport, and give way to what? Jesting and what? Hilarity. Please, I want you to look at that. You see the word jesting? When you play with spiritual things, God calls it idolatry. Hello? Please, can you see that on your screen? Huh? Aha. When you see comedians speaking in tongues and trying to make a joke, because I saw somebody, it's a man of God, saying that he uses comedians as to do evangelism. I love the man, but he's wrong. You see, that's your business. You do it to make money. But God says, when you give yourself, give me that scripture. He said they rose to dance, to sport, which means to dance and to play, you know. And in that play, it gave way to what? Jesting and hilarity. Next verse. Verse 8. We must not gratify evil desires and indulge in immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 suddenly fell dead in a single day. Next verse. Quickly. We should not tempt the Lord or try His patience. Become a trier to Him. Critically appraise Him or exploit His goodness as some of them did, and they were killed by poisonous snakes. Next verse. Not discontentedly complain as some of them did. That word complain is the word murmur. Grumble. And we are put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, which is death. Now, these things befell them by way of a figure, as an example and warning to us. As what? Aha. They were written, these things were written to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction. We, in those days, the ages, have reached their climax, their consummation, and concluding period. Let's take verse 12. Therefore, let any bishop, let any prayer warrior, let any person talking on Instagram and TikTok who thinks he stands, What should they do? He said, he who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, let him take heed lest he falls into sin. Okay, so these are lessons from the wilderness. That's the title of this message. So please, I want you to write as much as you can. So, the first thing I want to bring out here, please go back to verse 1. If you may, you may want to go back to the King James Version so that we can be on the same page. In verse 1, the scripture says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that our forefathers were all under and were protected. They were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, the first thing I want to bring out here is that in the Old Testament, their journey through the Red Sea was a symbolic way that Paul taught us that represented the salvation experience. Please, I want you to pay attention. You know, the sea was the Red Sea. That sea was red, signifying blood. So they were baptized into Moses, the way we are baptized into Christ. So these guys, as at that time, they were the ones you could call born again. These Israelites, they are the ones you could say, oh, these people are the children of God. And God used them as an example as to how he wants his children to pattern their lives. That's why Paul said these things are examples. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers. That means that while Satan may not be potent enough to stop your salvation, but if he leads you down the path of ignorance, he will waste you. Which means every Christian, no Christian, should complain or should say things like, I don't know, I am not aware. Because the moment you admit that you are ignorant, you automatically know where Satan will come in through. Satan will never go after a person from the place of strength. He does so from the place of his weakness, which is ignorance. Hallelujah. So that's the first thing I want us to note. That you must ask yourself a few questions. What are those aspects in the Christian faith that I am not really versed in? I'm not really strong in my understanding of those things. These things are very important. Because I will show you a few things from this chapter. Everything I'm saying is from this chapter. And you now realize that, okay, fine. These things are there. An entire chapter. Which means that God places a huge in premium or importance in these matters. And you will see that these things that God is talking about are the things we commonize today. You know, I shared with us 2 Sundays ago, and I said one of the ways to know a worldly Christian or a worldly church is that what? Who remembers? How did I put it? I said the world, they love their own. That's how scripture put it. Say the world loveth their own. So if you say you're a Christian and unbelievers are comfortable around you and they love you, that you are the way a Christian, I'm not talking about that you are preaching to them. I'm saying they look at you that you blend with them. You blend very well with them. There's no conviction when they're around you. Huh? That means you are worldly. Because one of the signs of a worldly Christian is that the world loves him. See, why can't every Christian be like you? Christianity does not have to be so hard. When they start praising you like that, then you need to go on a retreat with your Bible and your jotters and messages and add fasting to it. Because truly, if Jesus preached a message that was so endearing, they will not kill him. I want you to think about it. So one of the signs that you are in Christ, the world will not like you. They didn't like Elijah. They didn't like him. They didn't like John. They killed every one of Jesus' apostles. How come right now that everything about us agrees with the world. So this is what we are looking at today. So this message is for me and it's for you. So Paul is speaking to us about the matter of ignorance. You have to sit down and assess your personal level of ignorance. Don't assume, at least I'm okay, I know a lot of things. No, that aspect you are lacking in is where Satan will come through. Verse 2. The scripture says to us that each of them were baptized into Moses, and in the sea they were brought under obligation to the law, which means that when they were baptized in the sea, they came under the covenant of the law of Moses. But when we were baptized into Christ, we came under the covenant of grace. Grace means that my salvation experience will not be tied to anything I did, but what Jesus has already done. That's what grace means. It means I cannot pay for my freedom or for my redemption because Jesus has already done it. And all I have to do is to accept what he has already done. That's why even when you come to Christ as a Christian, the requirement is not to confess sin. The requirement is to confess Jesus. Though you may find that in the process of praying sometimes, your heart may move you. Oh, I'm a fornicator. Oh, I took what is... Yes, those things are okay. But what you are actually saying is, Jesus, come into my life. So you cannot be born again from your mother's womb. There's a man that said he was born again from his mother's womb. He's dead now. The moment you hear those things, no matter the miracles, prophetic accuracy, even if that word is coming from the person talking to you right now, you have to take that statement and put it beside God's word and measure it. That's the only way to judge it. We don't have a problem with anybody. I'm just saying, based on what you are saying, let's look at it. You cannot, from what Jesus has done, and you claiming to be born again from your mother's womb, you have denied the covenant of grace. Please, are we together? So don't be moved. Just pick your Bibles and study. So we have been consecrated and set apart to the service of God by reason of our baptism into Christ. The scripture says in verse 3 that all these Jewish people, these Israelites, they ate the same spiritual food. If you read Exodus chapter 15 from verse 4, also read verse 35, they ate manna. Manna. God gave them heaven's food. The scripture calls it the food of angels. Because some people are asking, do angels eat? Yes. They have food. It's called manna, prepared by God himself. The only time God enters the kitchen is to prepare that food. And that food has a divine essence that makes you, when you really have an encounter with the word of God, one of the true elements, two things, or among other things you will find. Number one, you will find the love of God. When you really encounter God in his word, you will come out of that experience loving God and trusting him. Huh? Another thing you will come out with when you are had an encounter with the word of God is the fear of God. These two things are very important. Please pay attention to them. So that before you say, oh, I've read my Bible, I've studied, did you find any of these two elements among others? Please, are we together? Hello, church. Please pay attention. And just follow me and meditate. What I'm trying to deliver us from is to be spiritual in church and carnal outside. It's a flow. There's no hallelujah in church. The hallelujah in church should be the same one outside. The scripture said they ate the same spiritual food. Now, please pay attention here. They all ate. Was Moses part of these people? He was the one who led them. Did he eat in the food? Are you there? No, they said they all of them, Israel, they ate. Was Joshua here? Caleb? The Israelites, those spies that came back with bad reports, were they here? They all ate. Moses even told them, oh, don't pack more than you need. Take what you want. Everybody ate. They all found revelation. They all came to God's presence and said, wow, today's service was powerful. This is what the Lord, you know, ministered to me. This manna is spiritual food. When it is administered to your heart, you come out thinking God. You are looking at the aspects of your life that you need to now begin to adjust. Because how God will deal with you will be different from the way he will deal with me. It's the same word of God we have all heard, but we are being blessed differently. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody ate that. There was nobody in that land, on that journey, on that pilgrimage, that did not eat this manna. But what did verse 4 say? Verse 4 said there was also a spiritual drink. That there was a rock crafted to follow them. It was not an ordinary rock. That rock has been journeying with them. Huh? That rock, a spiritual rock, which means you will not see that rock with your physical eyes. It was a spiritual rock. To get the benefit of what will be flowing from this rock, you cannot get it if you come carnally. Do you know you can have so much resource around you, and just because of the container in which that resource is presented, you will not be blessed. You know, I was listening to Pastor Adeshola's message after I got home from Bagada Church. I said, wow. For the first time, it occurred to me that some people are actually more composed than I am. You know, the way she was just teaching. I listened to the whole message. On Sunday, I said, wow. Ah, no rush, no story, just bam, bam, bam. She was on point, like fantastic. It was a spiritual drink. I was blessed if I had come to a church that morning that was not a verse word, and it was Adeshola that preached. I would have been so blessed, like, wow. Wow. Ah, somebody can preach a message like this. Wow. I was so blessed. And I'm not saying it for the optics or for the camera. I'm saying because I could see a measure of depth that you give a lady a microphone and she's not talking about relationships. She's teaching. Isn't that amazing? People think the work of the pastor's wife is to be talking about marriage and relationships. They don't get it. It's good. It's what our fathers gave us. Anyway, it's to teach. The Bible says those that the older women, let them teach the younger ones. It's not what are they teaching? How to prepare a dikaiko? No! Teach them the word. Teach them the word. Hallelujah. They drank. He said they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them. That rock was with them. That means if they move from point A to point B, by the next morning, that rock has journeyed with them. If you are not sensitive, you think it's one of the rocks around. Bible says, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. This is where the matter begins. Again, I want to ask you, was there anybody among these guys that didn't partake of the manna? Was there anybody that was not blessed by the ministry of the rock? They drank of that same. This is a church. Oh. This church has 5 million members. I asked my wife one question last night. And you know, I'd never thought about it like that until last night. The thing just came. I saw a lady on TikTok and she was like, oh, thank you for 100,000 followers. I don't even have up to 1,000. You know, some of us came in late. Do you know that? You know, of course, you see those things often if you are on Instagram. But for the first time, it hit me. Do you know what hit me? Somebody launches or opens a TikTok account, celebrates 10,000, 100,000, 1 million. If you are on YouTube, for every milestone, they will send you a plaque that you put on your wall or on your table showing that you now have 100,000 followers, 1 million followers. Like, people celebrate it. I say, but people are angry when a church wants 1 million. Oh. I asked my wife. I said, wait. This girl is dancing in front of this Salome. She's dancing for 100,000 followers. I went to check my only two people added me since last week. Like, I now have 167. I said, okay,
No problem. No problem. No problem. No problem. I'm not angry. I said, but she celebrated 100,000. And believe me, that video went viral again. More people will still. So, of course, if you're a woman, I have to tell you, you have bragging rights on all those platforms. People will just follow you for the shape of your face. They will follow you. But if you are here, shout your leader. So, anyway, say, let him and his fellows be together. Let's go to this one. All right? So, I just look at it. I said, this is open hypocrisy. People personally want more customers. People personally want more followers. They are not getting anything from me too, because men shall be lovers of themselves. But if a church says we want to grow to 1,000 members, say it's not about the size. It's okay, it's about what? When Jesus says, I want to win everybody that I shed my blood for. The issue of church growth is not about population. It's about what Jesus paid for. Jesus has already paid. He wants everybody, including the ones that are stubborn. He still wants them. That's why he has not killed them. If he listens to you, he would have killed them because you are angry. But he's the one who died. So he says, I brought you to verse 5 to show you that you may be in Christ from verse 1 to verse 4. Your spirit will be born again, but your mind is alienated from Christ. The Bible says in verse 5, with many of them, God was not pleased. The word please what? What does it mean? God was not happy. God was not satisfied. When I checked the Greek rendition for that word pleased, there was the word there. One of the words was approver. With many of them, there was no approver. God did not approve of them. Which means if they died in that state, they will be foolish virgins. Please, are you with me so far? Now, the reason why these things are in scripture, so that you can read them and align with the curriculum. The Bible says with many of them, God was not pleased. So let's look at some of the things they did that God was upset with. Now, please give me verse 5 in Amplified. Can we preach a message like this on Sunday morning? And church, talk to me. And people will be blessed. Now, look at this. Nevertheless, God was not well pleased with most of them, for they were scattered along the ground in the wilderness because of what? Their lack of self-control, which led to disobedience, which led to death. Give me another version. Give me another version. But just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. Most of them were defeated. By what? By temptation. During what? They were defeated by what? During what? During difficult moments in their lives. This is one of the reasons why God was not happy with them. Whenever they were going through challenges, they become troublesome. Their faith is unable to withstand the crisis. So even though God loves them, but he wasn't happy with them. All right? Okay, go back to King James. Verse 6. Now, these things are examples and warnings and admonitions for us, to the intent that we should not what? Please, let's read together. We should not what? After, as they what? So now, Paul is beginning to go back in time to explain that previous verse on why God was not happy with them. And they identify the subject of what? Lust. So let us start from here. This is the first lesson in the wilderness. I've said some things already, but we're going to narrow down. And I want you to, please, don't think of anybody. No. This is just us talking here. If you follow this message, you'll be blessed. Listen.
A lot of people pray and fast. God, give me your power. God, deliver me from this family problem. God, do this. God, do that. But I realized when I read this scripture that what God really looks for, first of all, in anybody is holiness. He said, do not touch the unclean thing. And I what? I will receive you. A lot of people who are fasting and pray are not born again. Or you don't know. A lot of people who are fasting and pray are living in active sin. Active. They are saved though. But now, in my version here, it says these are examples. That word example is captured as warnings and admonitions for us not to desire or crave or covet or lust. That version, King James says, evil things. Huh? This one says, evil and carnal. The issue of carnality becomes significant because you cannot be carnal except you are born again. There are three types of men, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have the spiritual man, we have the natural man, and we have the carnal man. The natural man is not saved. The spiritual man is born again, living by the power of the Holy Spirit. The carnal man is somebody that is born again, but lives like an unbeliever. So this message is not for unbelievers, it's for Christians. Please pay attention. So you can go back to 1 Corinthians 2 and read up that one. He said we should not lust after carnal things as they did. So what were some of the carnal things these guys lusted after in the wilderness? If you remember, they lusted after bread. They wanted food. Huh? They were tired. At some point, they were tired of manna. Huh? Say, Moses, you are trying, but a man cannot eat yam every day of his life. Eh? Sometimes he wants rice, jollof rice. These, for men who are sleeping now, that's their Bible verse. So, that a man cannot eat only one food. Eh? He has to, sometimes, variety is the spice of life, you know. Now, for those of you that are married, you understand this statement, Abby? Eh? That as wonderful as your wife is, sometimes when she asks you, oh, what would you like to have for dinner? You don't know what to say. Because as that question goes with a computer processor in your brain, yesterday beans, yam. So somewhere in your head, like, there's no food again. So the first issue God had with them was that they had a very strong desire for carnal things. They attributed the status of their Christian faith with the physical things they had. They think a man is close to God if he's rich. They think he's a man of spiritual depth when he has testimonies every time. Testimonies are good. But it's not a sign that you are approved. Eh? Testimony are a sign of God's faithfulness, not yours. Not yours. Not necessarily yours. God is God. He will do what he will do. So you are supposed to come and give him glory because you are not the one who did the thing. It was God who did it. So like many of you now, you are owing God testimonies for like 6 months. Because somewhere in your head, you want to testify the way you like. And that thing will not be approved. To not be approved. There's a church in Ibadan. 30 minutes every Sunday is for testimonies. But if you want to close your service in 1 hour, 30 minutes, you cannot do that. So the question is, will you obey God or obey man? These people, as long as Moses gave them what they wanted, God was good. The day Moses said, oh, sanctify yourself today and tomorrow, for the Lord shall come in the midst of thee. The moment they saw the thunder, say, the king council wants to see you. Say, this fasting and prayer every day. You know, those of you pastors who are mature, Pastor David, Pastor Kwell, people can be fasting. No, people will not join this workforce again.
See, now we have reduced. We are 15. Before, we used to be 40. And when I checked, it was when this fasting thing, it started like 2 days. Then after, I said, God said we should continue until everybody ran away. I want you to judge the issue of carnality and ask yourself one question today. My main reason for being in Jesus today, does he have anything to do with what I want? Then you will know if you fall into that category. Let's move on. This is the first lesson I want you to pick up. The second lesson here is in verse 7. It says, do not be worshipper of idols or false gods. Give me verse 7. Now, these are the things, you see, when you hear things like, with many of them, God was not pleased. That's what they are breaking down. What is the first thing God identified among them? They lusted after evil and carnal things. Huh? It may not be evil in the sense of, oh, God, I want a car. But when they review your motive and look at you very well, the same way people, there are people that prayed, fasted, came early to church, did vigil, and still came to church, did so many things. The moment they got their breakthrough, they decided to do online service. Online service is not a standard way of fellowshipping. It is good if you are in a place where, you know, churches are not readily available. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, would you like to come to Austria and start a church? And I said, why? Because she joins our service from Austria. And I said, why? She said, we don't have a church here. We only have one Catholic church. And that church only opens when there's a funeral service. She says she lives in a village. But she says the village is finer than Lekki. I said, I want this kind of village. I've always loved village lifestyle. You know, as you are looking at me, I love quiet places. Can you imagine a big cathedral on earth that only opens when they want to bury somebody for 1 hour? The priest will just come, Santom, Santom, Santom. Yeah, go and bury. Close the door, it goes again. And some of you want to possess Canada. When God says, let me send you to Austria, you say no, because you don't want to speak German language. Because in that place, nobody will give you shishi. You will labor, you will preach, you will labor, you will fight for every soul. How many of you want to go to Austria? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see? That kind of prayer, if you pray, God will answer, na, 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 na. You know, you've been praying about Canada. God did not say, pray about Austria now. Austria is just border town with Switzerland. You even be strolling to Switzerland. See where they keep your country's money. That prayer, I double dare you. Pray it. If by the end of this year or June, you are still in this country, I know. I will ask God. We apply. We say, want to go to Austria. When a old town, no church, and you say, God, I want to go there. You want to go there? I'll be looking for somebody. Hey, Michael, where's our file? Visa. Pa, pa, pa. You are there. You just close that in Nigeria, wake up in Austria. Stop pursuing carnal things. That's the first thing. The second thing he said is that do not be worshipper of false gods. That's what's in my Bible version. But here it says, do not be idolaters. Give me the scripture now. Come on now. Give me the scripture. Neither be ye idolaters. As we are what? Some of them. This second matter is a derivative of the desire for carnal things. I've never bowed down to an idol. I've never done this. I've never done that. It's because you didn't check very well. Most idols draw their strength from your cravings. Yes. That's why they are difficult to deal with. Because you love them. You want them. That's why the sins you struggle with are the ones you love. Oh, you don't know. You don't know. Those sins you say, Pastor, I've been praying, deliver me. They are the sins that when you feel like doing them, there's a part of it that enjoys it and feels guilty later. Okay. Some of you are looking at me like I'm the only one living in sin. But look at that scripture. It said, do not
be worshippers of false gods as some of them were. How did they display their idolatry? The people sat down to eat and to drink and then rose up to play when they were high. Let me read my version here. It says, do not be worshipper of false gods as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. In bracket, the sacrifices that they offered to the golden calf. That this matter happened when Moses went to God's presence to come down with the Ten Commandments. If you read Exodus 32, you will see there. They now co-opted Aaron. Okay, you are just here. You don't have anointing. You don't have anything. Give us idol. Pastor Wenga travel for 1 month. Everywhere dry. Hey, you are too gentle. You are too gentle. What do you have? You cannot pray. You cannot. Okay, give us one small thing that we can be buying to. We know it's your spiritual level. You are not anointed. So give us idol. That was a conversation because of somebody's ineptitude. When a man has not found God, but you gave him a cassock. The day the only man that knows God lives, they'll say, but this is also a reverend. And I say, reverend still takes shekpe. He still drinks guda. Reverend is a realist. Because people did not know what he meant in pastor's mind. He said, me, I like to face fact. Pastor, let's face fact. They didn't know it because he didn't know God. The day pastor left, after 2 months, he said, me, I don't know. All this falling under anointing is pastor. It's not me, I don't know. Me, I will just tell you what the little I know. The chicken crossed the road, Emmanuel. And everybody is happy. They say, this one cannot help us. Give us something we can bow to, because man was crafted for worship. The way God created man, you must worship something. Even when you say you don't believe in God, you are worshiping something. You are worshiping money. That's why you wake up very early and you sleep at night, because you worship money. So the idols of their heart. I use this scripture, I checked myself, and I realized that I have to be very careful. These people missed it because they were not careful. They followed Moses, but not with their heart. Moses is the one that is following God. Let him be telling us what to do. He will give us there's a level for pastors, there's a level for workers. Then we members, that we cannot be at that level, you know, there's something for us, you know. So as long as you are like that, you will always be, God will not be well pleased with you, because you'll be running amok, running afoul of the law. These guys made the pastor produce an idol with priestly anointing.
Ooh.
With the anointing on his head. He created, do you know how anointed a man can be that is able to create another God and give that God life? That the people saw the idol and said, this is our God, which brought us out of. It was not an ordinary wood. It was the oil upon his head. The Bible in the book of Psalms talks about the oil upon Aaron's head. Even him didn't know the weight of his anointing. That anointing has the capacity to create idols. You can create gods for people. You can even make yourself a god. And people, if they don't see you, they won't believe God is in the church. That's Aaron. But Aaron did not think he was capable. But he was able to craft idols, give it life. And that idol derailed a whole nation. They started eating, started drinking alcohol, started sleeping with themselves as part of their worship. Got tipsy, started dancing. You always do this, our idol is very spiritual, but because of Aaron's error. Because of Aaron's, do you know how many people will derail if you go back? Do you know how important you are to Jesus? Many of us will have a lot to answer for when we see him. Somebody thought he was not important, yet his error derailed a whole nation. He used the anointing on his head, not to heal the sick, but to create idols in the church. So when people come, they don't see Jesus, they see the pastor. The Bible said they began to jeer, hilarity in Amplified. It said they started jesting. Alpha. Is it? Oh yeah. They show me the way pastor used to preach. Is somebody? Can you hear me at the back? Somebody. Is somebody? Can you hear? They began to jest. Say, come and tell us how pastor used to behave. They began to jest. Ah, you got it. You didn't get it. Oh yeah, you come and try. Hallelujah. I'm seeing the river, but it's time. Ah, it's 12. They started jesting. Meanwhile, the man of God, on the mountain. God said, Oga, don't pray again. See your 5 million mega church congregation. Judy to the right now. Judy to the left now. Including Aaron. Baba, you can't just sit down. We're having fun here, man. You just sit down. No, you tell. You gave us this thing. Join us. Oh, yeah, take. This one is for you. Baba, join us. Everybody's here. No sleep this night. We are enjoying ourselves. We are in the wilderness. There's no program. There's nobody's going to work tomorrow. Plus priest and usher. Everybody. Oh, Lord, may my life, oh God, not be the reason why a nation is lost. Ah! This thing was documented for a reason. You have to be careful. Don't let your life be the reason why your wife stop following Jesus, your husband stop following Jesus, or your boss, or people in your office. Some of you, they know you that you are very good at the office, but they don't know you're a Christian. Something is wrong. If they don't think that the reason why you are good is because of the Spirit of Christ, there's something wrong. No time. Verse 8. Let's look at another matter. These are the lessons, so, and when we are done, go and listen to this message again. Verse 8. Quickly. Look at it. See the way Satan started with them. First started with carnal desire. I cannot be serving God if I don't know what I'm benefiting. You know? All these days I've been, I don't have car, I don't have anything, I'm still squatting. No. Carnal desires. From there, they enter idolatry. When you enter idolatry, the twin brother is what? Fornication. This is what a nation, a church, 5 million people were doing because the pastor went away for 40 days. And the pastor begged them, let me also bring some of you to God. They said, no, it's your work. I cannot marry a pastor. There are people who are still saying that and they are speaking in tongues. Say, I cannot marry a pastor. It shows us, we know your level. You understand? We know your level. It tells us a lot. It's not the day you die, we will know. We've seen it. If truly you have found God, that cannot come out. Those are sacred words. Give me that scripture. He said, let us not commit fornication. As some of them, and what happened to them? 23,000. Look at the impact of fornication in one day. The moment they entered this area, Satan came in and started killing. People started dying. 23,000. It wasn't God that killed them, it was their sin. Because if they did the right thing, they wouldn't die. This is the weight of the matter. The power of sexual sin on a man's life. The burden of sexual sin on a man's destiny. 23,000. That's how powerful it is. Stronger than AIDS. Stronger than gonorrhea. Stronger than destiny. This one, you'll be taken out completely. If somebody has gonorrhea, it's still okay now. This one, they died. You people don't like this message. Somebody's going to be blessed right now. Amen. Hallelujah. I see your blessing comes in. Your blessing is coming like rain. Now. This is the blessing of what I'm talking about. You have to receive. And this one really scared me. Because you see, this area is one area our generation is struggling with. This is the reason why many pastors have bodyguards. Not ushers, not PO. Bodyguards. You see them on TikTok walking about with bodyguards because they are afraid. That means if somebody can bribe the bodyguard successfully, pastor is gone. Because many pastors don't even find their wives attractive. They say they married her because God said she was not my choice. As if God doesn't like fine women. You understand? So we have lied on the pulpit. I know how I was praying on Mount Tabora. The Lord came and told me. See, and I went there, I found my wife. So every other, and every time we look at your wife, we only think of holiness because she's not really fine. We only think of holy things. It's a crime. It's a crime to marry a fine woman. That's the impression we pastors have given many of you. And that if God tells you this, your wife, she will not be fine. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So where's the ugliness there? You must either have one of those conditions. Either you are fearful or you are or have both. See, this matter, and let me tell us, because we are all Christians here, the lie we told ourselves when we went online and started shaming ourselves is that the unbelievers, those people in your office, they commit this sin every day. They are not in a hurry to marry. You, Christian, you are under sexual tension. Paul even came and told us, if you know you cannot hold yourself, go and marry. He didn't say pray. He said, go and marry. That's how serious the matter is. That at a certain level, hold your hands. In Jesus' name, don't fornicate again. Go. You are married. That's how serious the matter is for Paul. That if you pray, we know you are seeing God, but now, see your life. You are about to be finished. Come on Sunday, we'll join you. Then the church will gather your, 2 minutes. Gather your church will contribute your, what do you call that thing? Bride price. We'll send it to your wife's family. If you have married though, this is your bride price. We don't want them to fornicate. This is a struggle for our generation. And how you will know is that most churches are not talking about it. Pastors are now saying, there's nobody that does not commit sin. We know. But is that not how 23,000 people died? They suddenly fell. Give me that scripture. They fell in one day. One day. That means when death visited this tent, this house. Hey, why they are still shouting? It goes to the next house. It goes to the next house. Do you know what will happen if 23,000 people died in Maryland? The governor will come here. That's how potent. Meanwhile, some people, they didn't die physically, but spiritually, they became... The book of Proverbs says that kind of man is turned to a piece of bread. That means when you, like a slice of bread, it's not useful. You can't do anything with him. You just put this on bread, nothing. Can't do anything. It's worthless. It's not even a loaf. It's just a slice. Put him down. Worthless. That is what sexual sin we do to a man. So when we say be moderately dressed, we are trying to help ourselves. When we say let us marry, there is no reason any Christian woman and any Christian brother, and even worst case scenario, by 27 should not be married. Because the atmosphere is tense. And if you don't marry, you'll be lost. And then I will look down on you because in my mind, they say where I want my wife to be. You will look down on me because as far as you're concerned, I'm struggling. All of us in church not married. And then we are struggling. The day Satan will come, it will just be one small thing like this. 23,000 people. Come on, say God forbid. Verse 9, quickly, our time is up. This message should not be rushed, but my time is up. I don't know what to do now. Look at what he said here. He said, we should not tempt the Lord or tempt Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Do you know what it means to tempt the Lord? Look at what my version says. It says, do not tempt the Lord. Try his patience. Do not try his patience. Yeah, he should be his God. Do not try his patience. Do not become a trier. That means some people can become a temptation to God. That God will say, let me not look at him because if I look, I will destroy him. Please, I want you to imagine that a person can become so terrible that God will now choose not to look at him so that he will not destroy that person. Look at what he said. He said, do not try his patience. Do not become a trial to him. Don't become a test, an exam that God will write. I want to see how patient God is. I will be sinning. Do not critically appraise him. I want to see how faithful you are. I want to appraise God. I want to check how many blessings I get. Even all this church. I want to see, what am I benefiting? All the people that helped me this year, they are all unbelievers. Have you heard those things? Say, do not appraise. Do not appraise God. Do you know what it means to appraise God? Do you know what it means to appraise somebody? When you walk in the office for wine, they say they want to do an appraiser on how you walked, how you performed. Do not test God to say, I want to see how you performed this year in my life. It's a sin. See, that's what it means to tempt God. You are tempting. God is now avoiding you because he doesn't want to destroy you, because you are touching his holiness. He said, do not exploit his goodness. Goodness as a reason to sin. I'm not talking about you made a mistake. I'm talking about living a life of recklessness. One of my dear brothers, you know, he has such a problem. I might even be listening now, but I had to rebuke him last night. Called me from this other wonderful country. And I didn't mean to. And I know he's blessed because there are some people pastors cannot rebuke. There are people pastors manage so that they will still be coming to church. The brother called me and said, Pastor, I am struggling. I don't have a job. And as I wanted to pray for him, the Lord said, ask him, the last job I gave you, did you tithe? He just answered, no. I asked him. I said, I'm hearing a question in my spirit. The Lord said, the last job that he gave you, that you did for 2 years, did you tithe? He said, no. He said, the money was not enough. I said, you are not qualified for the next miracle. I said, so I'll pray a prayer of restoration and repentance for you. But after now, go back after his prayer. Go and settle yourself with God. You cannot choose how you want to serve God. And then you still want his blessings. The 10% is too much for him. Yet you want 100. Go and serve Baal. Don't tempt the Lord. These are when the scripture says with many of them, God was not happy. Say you have seen it now. Say you have seen it now. This is not about, oh God, the pastor is talking about David. No. When I finish, I'll go and get this message, sit down, put my life beside it and x-ray again. Bible says, test yourself to see if you are still in the faith. Don't test God, test yourself. The Bible said, don't appraise him. Give me that scripture. As some of them did, and were what? Destroyed by serpents. The serpents would not have had power over them if they did not dare God. What that scripture means is that they were daring God. I feel like having sex. I'll go to Chike's house. I'll have sex. It's God that knows the heart. Who even knows who is not doing it in church? Better speak for yourself. Some of us, we are struggling, but we've not done it. You are the only one who is doing it. We are struggling, but we are still sitting in front. You, because you told yourself, I don't even know what you did. It's only God that knows we're serving. What will happen after all these years? I spoke to a lady. She said, Pastor, I'm 40 years. I'm still a virgin. I'm still trusting God. I became weak. I became very weak. I became very weak. So I asked God, what's the problem? The Lord says, from the mother's side of our family. God, that one, I need answer immediately. And I told her, you need deliverance. This scripture, you can read Numbers 21. You'll see that story there. Let me wrap up. My time is gone. Give me verse 10 quickly. Are you blessed this night? Please, when you get home, go to the website or go to YouTube and listen to this message again. Your data, that 1 gig or 200 MB, will bring grace into your life. For going back to watch this thing. When I leave church, I listen to my message like a church member. Sometimes I want to do something bad, like my heart wants to be wicked. I'll play my own message. I'll just hear where I said it. I say, I'll just calm down. Like this message now. The day I wake up and all my ears are becoming very long because of Cassandra, I'll just play this message. Say 23,000. One day, 23,000. Die. Cassandra, block. It's not a matter of I'm spiritually strong. Just block first. Block. Block WhatsApp, block Telegram, block everything. Then come to church and join prayer team. Give me the next verse. Then from there, God will be giving you grace to be strong. One day, you won't need to block again because your glory will be so bright. They can't come close to you. But for now, just be blocking. Neither murmur ye. Oh my God. Another word for murmur is what? Grumbling. Don't grumble in front of me. Don't stand in front of me and say, God, you are talking. You are talking. Satan didn't commit out this one before they threw him out. Say, don't grumble. Don't murmur. Some of them did. They were destroyed of the destroyer. This one is not serpent. God turned his back. The destroyer came, cleared all of them. Says, only this manna. What is this manna? The food is tasteless. No pepper. No pepper. Just pack it on the floor. You eat. I remember the cucumber of Egypt. I remember how we used to enjoy. Pastor Charles, you remember? In those early in the morning, like, they would bring bread. They bring toast. They bring, what's that other thing? Samosa. They bring, we just sit down. You are a slave. Oh. But say, but we are not living like this. This one, say you are free. You brought away. We are packing things on the floor. Say it's bread of heaven. And you have the mouth to call yourself a man of God. Why can't you do better than Egypt? Give us something. Give us the cucumber of Egypt. Hallelujah. As they were, did they talk to God? No. They were talking to the prophet. But what did God say? You grumbled at me. You are being honest. But see the verdict of heaven. You murmured. And God just turned his back. Because there are certain things God cannot negotiate. God cannot negotiate ungrateful people. God cannot negotiate somebody who sins constantly. Actively, God cannot negotiate a murmurer. A murmurer will see everything God has not done. He will not see it. He will only be seeing the things God is here to do. And from there, Satan will say, come, we'll help you. There's a school in this Obodo, Nigeria, where they train people to be Yahoo specialists now. Some of you don't know. If you come, I'll tell you. But you don't want to go to Bible school, so we'll send you elsewhere. They are learning this. And you know what is happening? All frustrated people are calling their friends. Come. Come. When last did you invite someone to church? If you go to that school, I saw their picture online. Every, like a mega church. Full. Learning how to scam. Oh my God. They have taken you to the next level. After you receive the thing from Baba, we will now teach you how to use it. So you will live long. Meanwhile, you don't have more than 15 years again. No? But that 15 will be quality. It is the day to your day of death you will realize you wasted your life. But for now, be enjoying. Say, do not murmur. Look at what my version says. It says, do not complain. As some of them did discontentedly. They are discontent. God is never enough. They will always see what God did for another person that he didn't do for them. Anything God tells them to do is a burden. If I made up my mind, I would have made a better decision. I would have married somebody else. I would have been in Australia. Maybe if you had been in Australia, if I had gone that time, maybe I would have had cancer now. People don't know that the moment you choose a path, it opens a door of possibilities for you. That once you choose that place, certain things will now begin to happen to your life. I asked my wife last week, I said, so I was supposed to school at University of Calabar if I had gone there. You understand? Meanwhile, my dad did his NYC in Calabar. When I wanted to go there, they warned me not to come, that I will not come back if I go to Calabar. That they cook specially, that I will not come, that my father survived by luck when he came back, that me, I will not survive. That's what they told me. But me, I like Calabar, I want to go. And I still apply, jump, Unical. If I had gone, most likely I would not have met my wife. I'd have been somewhere in Port Harcourt now, doing my thing. But somewhere in my heart, I would know that something is missing. Unfortunately, it's late. I would not have met all of you. Maybe all my friends would be both smoking, shepherd drinkers. Don't complain. Complain brings destroyers.
it brings destruction to your house. Don't allow people to complain around you, because both the complainer and those around the complainer will suffer.
The Bible says in verse 11, now these things befell them by way of an example, and these things are written for what? Our admonition, our warning. God is giving us these things because these things will happen again. These things are written so that we can avoid it. Don't mess with God. These things are written so that I can avoid it. I can avoid it. You can avoid it. These things are written in black and white so that we can avoid these things. Avoid the judgment that came upon them. Give me that scripture. You say, upon whom the ends of the world has come. That means as we approach the end of the age, you will see all these things again. As we approach the end of the age, these things that I've read, murmuring, sexual sins, tempting Christ, all those things, you will see, and these are the lessons in the wilderness for which they could not enter the promised land. And some of you are praying, you want to take your unconquered territory. These are the things you will look at. Because there must be internal victory before there's external victory. Therefore, because my time is up now, oh God, let anyone who thinks that he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he falls into sin. That's the Amplified. Give me the Amplified version. Lest he falls into sin. That means most people fall into sin, not because of the temptation, but because of a certain level of assurance that they are insulated. I can go to a house and nothing will happen. Something will happen. I can talk to him late in the night, and after you are done around 1 a.m., you know that you have sinned. The only thing was that you didn't go to his house. But everything around you tells you you have sinned. These are the battles. Unfortunately, we have to stop it, man, that we need to review. And I want to encourage you, go back home, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you know yourself better. If you want, this is the reason why only Caleb and Joshua could make it to the promised land. They didn't have these things. And it's not because they were better, it's because they were close to Moses. They didn't have the Bible to read, so they only look at Moses and they follow him. These people were the ones who almost made Moses derail. These same people. May God give you good family members. Because one day you just get angry, you lose your temper, and you destroy everything. I want you to pray for yourself in 1 minute and ask for grace. I want you to pray for yourself. Today's meeting is not about anybody. It's about you personally. It's about myself. I want you to ask for grace that the spirit of this world will enter into your heart. In the name of Jesus, that the spirit of this world will enter into your heart.